Welcome to Living Hope. With today's teaching, here's the Reverend Richard Brunton.
Hello, welcome to the Living Hope program today. Today we're going to have a look at another parable, a well-known parable. It's what we call the parable of the sower. We get the impression that quite a big crowd is gathering and Jesus begins to teach them. Now, some people believe that when Jesus begins this parable about the farmer sowing his seed, that he possibly looks up and in the distance he's seeing a farmer do that very thing. We don't actually know. But of course, one of the things about this parable is that it would have been very relevant for so many people. They would have no difficulty in identifying a farmer. They'd have no difficulty in entertaining, understanding the idea of a farmer sowing seed. And undoubtedly, they would be aware of the consequence of sowing that seed, that not all of it would grow and be fruitful. So in that sense, Jesus is taking a well-known scenario and applying it in terms of the spiritual principles that he wants to talk about. Now, what becomes clear is that when the disciples later desired to know what was this all about, this sowing of a seed and these different types of ground, what was it all about? Jesus explains, and in verse 11 he says this, the seed is the word of God. And it's very important to understand that there's no problem with the seed. There are the different types of ground, and there are the different degrees of growth or fruitfulness that come about when the seed is sown into these types of ground. But there's nothing wrong with the seed. The word of God is the word of God, and when received, and received well, it can make a massive difference. So Jesus explains that the seed is good, but when it's sown into the ground, there are these different reactions. One area is the pathway. The pathway is hard and firm. It's not being ploughed up at all. And it's not a surprise that when the seed falls on that sort of ground, it just lays there. And if there are birds around, as Jesus describes, they're going to pick that up very quick, and it's just not going to do anything. It really is pretty fruitless. And then in Luke's gospel, he moves to some fell on rocky ground. But the interesting thing about the seed on rocky ground is that although there is a degree of growth and an immediate reaction, so to speak, what we notice is that there's no roots. They can't get moisture deep down, and therefore they dry up and disappear quite quickly. And that's, again, very much a picture that there are hearts like the pathway that are hard and resistant, and the word just doesn't go anywhere. But even hearts where there appears to be some success, if there's no depth, then there's no moisture, and if there's no moisture, things will shrivel up in the sun and die. And then we have a description of a ground which is thorny. There's some soil around, but it's not particularly effective, because there's all these weeds, and so any life that tries to emerge is going to be quickly stifled. And then of course there's the good soil, and the good soil which has been cleared of weeds and rocks and broken up, that's where the seed can really grow. We're going to think a little bit more about the effect of the seed upon these grounds when my friend Patrick joins me, after we now listen to some worship.
Come unto me,
You're listening to Living Hope, the ministry of the Reverend Richard Brunton. I'm Patrick Woodward, and I've joined Richard now to look further at the parable of the sower in Luke chapter 8 from verse 4 onwards. One of the things that strikes me, Richard, about this passage is that the sowing bit is easy, but it's where you sow that is crucial.
Yes, that's exactly right. That is the case.
What makes for good soil?
Well, I think that's a very helpful question, because one of the things I've thought about with this, it's a kind of reversal of some of the ground. So good soil is no rocks, no stones. Good soil is no weeds, no thorns. Good soil is broken up, so it's not like the pathway hard. So it's the reverse of the other types of ground that are described.
Looking around our world today, is it difficult to find that really good soil? You'd have thought, you know, we're talking in picture terms, but you'd have thought, you know, in people's lives there are all sorts of rocks and hard areas and difficult parts of people's lives that makes the soil that much harder to sow upon.
Well, I think that is right. I think that, you know, people sometimes allow things into their lives and they're really in a complicated situation, because they're saying, I want to grow, I want to receive the word. And it's like Jesus is saying, well, get rid of a few of these thorns. You know, some of these things that are choking life with me, make space, make room. And so people are asking for the blessing, but they're not prepared to make the sacrifices and do the cleaning up work, so to speak, in their hearts, to enable the soil to be good.
I mean, this is very much what you and the others involved in your ministry are doing. You're going out, you're travelling to almost all four corners of the world, you know, preaching the gospel to various people. Are you aware of some areas which are easier to do that in and other areas which are harder?
Well, very much so. And I think that this is a very important reality, in as much as you can preach the same message, you can have prepared the same, you can have prayed the same, what you're delivering can be the same, but where you're delivering isn't always the same. And so I found even during this year, I've been sharing God's word over the telephone to a group in Malawi, and almost every week there are people responding, wanting to give their lives to Jesus. It's very exciting. But I can't say that's happening everywhere I preach. But I can humbly say the message isn't any different. I'm not any different. But certainly people's hunger, openness, desire to hear the word of God, that can be different.
Some people would say that there's a value in preparing the ground, in getting people ready to hear God's word. Is there? Would you agree with that?
Yes, I think so. I think this is why, although not exclusively, this is why often before someone preaches the word, there's a time of worship. And I think singing songs of praise to God, an atmosphere of worship and praise, definitely prepares people's hearts to receive the word. And obviously, if they're going to a situation where they're going to hear the word of God, say to church, doesn't have to be, but it could be church, well, again, it's good to ask God, Lord, let my heart be open. Let me be in a good place to receive. And if we prepare our hearts, that again can make a difference.
Verse 8 finally talks about the crop that is yielded. In day-to-day lives and in the work you see, what is the crop? How do you define that?
Well, Jesus does talk about sometimes a crop being 100 times more. He does in other places of this parable use different numbers. The multiplication in terms of the response will vary because of the different types of ground as we've described. But I think it is good to believe God for fruit. His word is powerful. And I think that when we talk about fruitfulness, we're really talking about people responding and obeying what God says. And there are all sorts of issues, and clearly some issues that people act upon will have a greater significance than others. If someone's been involved in terrible corruption and they start to live an honest life, that's not only going to affect their well-being, there's a load of people who've been ripped off by others who are going to be blessed because of that change. But yes, the fruit is a changed life obeying God's word.
Okay, Richard, thank you very much indeed. Join us again next time as we continue looking at God's word in the next Living Hope. You've been listening to Living Hope from the Reverend Richard Brunton. If you'd like to contact Richard, please visit our website at living-hope.org.uk.